Well, it's a great joy and a great honour and privilege to be back here at St Nick's, and thank you very much, Will, for your invitation and welcome. It's great for Leslie and me to be here. We had 13 wonderful years, and it's an honour to be here. You may know the story of the vicar who goes back to his old church. He says afterwards, "I'll be at the door and I look forward to shaking hands with a few old faces." You're meant to laugh then. Have you heard the love song? "Yet with the woes of sin and strife, the world has suffered long. Beneath the angel's strain have rolled 2,000 years of wrong. And man at war with man hears not the love song which they bring. Oh, hush your noise, ye men of strife, and hear the angels sing." Luke places the love song firmly in history to show that he's done his homework. In the days of Herod the king, in those days Caesar Augustus issued a decree, and they were certainly days of sin and strife. Herod was a vicious tyrant who was deeply insecure, and if anyone else gave a hint of being a rival, he would kill them himself or have them killed. He murdered his wife, Mariamne, her mother, Alexandra, and his three sons, Antipater, Alexander, and Aristobulus. And as Matthew records, he slaughtered the innocents all around Bethlehem when he heard of the birth of another king. And although Rome brought the so-called Pax Romana to its empire, life for the Jews in Palestine under Caesar Augustus and his successors was often characterized by brutal repression, sin and strife. And yet, the love song was sung then. Who heard it? Not the high and mighty, but shepherds, despised by the religious elite, because as shepherds, they were quite unable to keep the law in all its details, its ceremonies. They couldn't get to the synagogue on the Sabbath. Yet these ordinary folk, they were forerunners of the multitudes of the poor, the marginalized, the humble, the needy, who were to throng Jesus in his public ministry. And many of them heard the love song. And what was this love song that the angels sang? "Glory to God in the highest." This is a love song, first of all, about God, the creator and sustainer of all life. It echoes the book of Job in the Old Testament, where at the very beginning, and I quote, "The morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God, the angels, shouted for joy." Scientifically, that was 13.7 billion years ago. The universe was born. Someone who sang that love song was Albert Einstein. He wrote, "My religion consists of a humble admiration of that illimitable superior spirit who reveals himself," noticed, himself, "in the tiny details that we can perceive with our frail and feeble minds." Someone else who sung that love song was once described as the world's most notorious atheist, the philosopher Anthony Flew. I studied history and philosophy at university. I remember Anthony Flew, up with A.J. Ayer, the greatest atheistic philosopher of the last century. And yet, before this man died, he changed his whole opinion. He wrote this book, "There is no God," and he crossed out the "no," "a God." How the world's most notorious atheist changed his mind. What changed it? He met top scientists who were believers in God and in Christ. His motto was, "Follow the argument wherever it leads." It led him to belief in God. He wrote this, "I'm entirely open to learning more about the divine reality. The laws of nature have shown that there is the existence of an infinitely intelligent mind behind it all." He became a believer. He sang and he heard the love song. So when we recognize God as our creator, the sustainer of life, we are singing the love song with the angels. But they sang more. "On earth peace to people on whom his favor rests." A love song about God coming to earth as peace giver and therefore peacemaker. Coming as a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. Coming as one who identifies with the homeless. Coming as one who, after the flight to Egypt, is one with the refugee. Coming as a savior. Coming as Christ the Lord. Coming from God to reconcile us to himself. Coming because we are loved. Do you know you are loved? Can we hear the love song? Many people don't. I didn't. I thought that love song was a dirge. I found religious people extremely unattractive. They seemed to be very dull, boring people. I wanted to enjoy life. And church for me was a total turn-off. Not religion for me, thank you very much. I took a family wedding, earlier this summer. Afterwards, I was sitting next to a lady who said, "Well, thank you, that was great." But she said to me, "You know, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual." So I said, "What do you mean?" "Well, I believe there's something, and I love poetry and music and art." And I said, "That's great, but I'm not religious." She said, "I tried church, so judgmental, so negative." So I said, "Well, I'm not religious either." She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I have a faith, but I'm not religious. Religion is something dead and dreary and rules. I've got a faith." And I said, "Jesus was not religious. In fact, he had a lot of criticism for religious people, but he had a faith in the living God. That's totally different." Many people don't hear the love song because they never had a chance to hear it. Many are just too occupied and caught up in the pressures of life to stop and listen. And others can't hear the love song because of the age-old issue of suffering. I totally understand that. I've been a clergyman for over 50 years. I've seen every type of suffering imaginable. And I could easily be an atheist, but I'm not. Atheism is too simple. It doesn't look at the whole picture, but I can understand why people feel that. The love song, though, is not some shrill, triumphalist trumpet blast in your face. It's a love song about a baby who will grow into a man who welcomes the marginalized, heals the sick, comforts the downcast, feeds the hungry, forgives the sinner, and who, after 3 years, dies naked on a cross, forgiving his enemies. This is a love song about a suffering God who enters into all human pain and can transform it, turning the darkest places into places of hope. Something personal here. When I was 8 months, I was taken prisoner with my sister and my parents by the Germans in the war. We were on a ship going from Australia, where I'd been born, to Bombay. We never got there. The Germans were all over the Indian Ocean in raiders, fast-moving battleships. They captured our ship. They took us prisoner to Japan. We were put in a prison camp for the rest of the war. From the age of 8 months till I was over 4, I was a Japanese prisoner of war. Where's God in that? But God was there. Oh, yes. It was a convent that the Japanese had taken over, and there was a chapel in that convent. And the prisoners would gather, many of them, Sunday by Sunday, because they knew God was there with them. I returned to that convent 2.5 years ago. The convent itself is gone. There's a new one. But I had a wonderful 2 visits there in Japan. And I brought back this. It's a piece of the wall which I remember. We were imprisoned, but God was there. And in that chapel was this glass. And my mother used to arrange the flowers in this glass in that chapel. It's one of my most treasured possessions. I keep it on my windowsill, telling me again, yes, God is there in the darkest place. And people found faith in Christ in that place. God is there in the suffering. Nothing can stop God being present everywhere. What enabled me to hear that love song? It was meeting people whose lives had been transformed by it. And in particular, they pointed me to the cross. Glory to God in the highest. He's become one of us. This hand represents the whole human race. This hand is God. He loves us. But there's a problem. It's our rebellion, our sinfulness, our selfishness, the destructive stuff which makes us mess up life and relationships and even this planet. And it's a barrier. The Bible calls it sin. Call it what you like. God loves us, but this stuff he hates because he's love and he's holiness. But he becomes a man once in Royal David's city. And on that cross, Jesus, who was one with his Father, totally one, he carries our sins in his body on the cross. He dies our death. He takes our rubbish. He pays the price. He defeats sin. And when I saw that, and I saw God, the love song in other people's lives, I said, I get it, I get it. He loves me so much, he's taken my stuff, and he has defeated evil for me. The atonement, the atonement. And you and I can have a relationship with God because of the cross. God in Jesus reconciling us to himself. Peace from God. There's no greater news than that. But finally, it's a love song about peace on earth. I was in Bethlehem itself 2.5 years ago with a group. We took communion in the shepherd's fields. We went to the manger, the place of his birth. But we went further. We went south to an amazing place called the Tent of Nations. The Tent of Nations is a Palestinian Christian farm south of Bethlehem in the occupied territories. All around it are settlements, Jewish settlements. This farm has been in this Christian family for 3 generations. But sadly, tragically, some of those settlers want it. And they have come in and they have ripped up olive trees which have been there for centuries. Just before our visit, a settler had come in just before the harvest with his bulldozer and had bulldozed over trees, fruit stuff, all the rest. We couldn't get up to the Tent of Nations, this place, because the settlers had blocked the road. We walked up. But, a huge sign. We refuse to have enemies. And we met the farmer there, wonderful Christian. His face was shining with the love of God. And well-wishers have come from all over the world and rebuilt, replanted stuff. It's a place of reconciliation. Jew, Arab, Christian. Retreats are held there. All their legal expenses have been paid when they've taken it to court to no avail. God is there. Peace this way. That's the power of the love song. But I could take you somewhere else. I could take you to a couple whom I've been meeting for the last 2 years, whose marriage has been very, very, very shaky. And I've worked with them, lovely couple, but a lot of stuff, two young kids. The husband's been drinking, all sorts of stuff, but, God's there. And I've seen the love song being heard. And I've seen this man giving up his drinking, gone to rehab, finding a faith in Jesus. He said to me the other day, David, I have the Holy Spirit in me. I have a new love for my wife. The love song is being sung. There is hope. Peace this way. Peace from God. Peace this way. And so it is. It's a love song which sets us free to go out and sing it to others by serving the poor, feeding the hungry, comforting the bereaved, and sharing humbly our faith, and yes, loving our enemies. Have you heard the love song? Have I afresh this Christmas? When we hear it, it can transform our lives. Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. But in Bethlehem's home was there found no room for thy holy nativity. Heaven's arches rang when the angels sang, proclaiming thy royal degree. But in lowly birth thou didst come to earth, and in great humility. O come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. I don't know where you are on your journey of faith, but maybe this Christmas you can open your heart to him, maybe a little more, and pray, Lord, help me to get closer to you. I want to hear that love song, and I want it to change my life. It's the greatest love song that's ever been sung. Let's just be quiet for a moment. You might want to pray the agnostic's prayer. God, if you exist, please show yourself to me. If you mean it, he will, somehow. You might want to go further. Come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. Amen.